Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 12. Joshua 12. Now these are the kings of the land whom the sons of Israel defeated and whose land they possessed beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise from the valley of the Arnon as far as Mount Hermon and the Arabah to the east. Sihon, king of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon and ruled from Aor, which is on the edge of the valley of the Arnon, both the middle of the valley and half of Gilead, even as far as the brook Jabbok, the border of the sons of Amnon, and the Arabah, as far as the Sea of Chinnereth, toward the east, and as far, Chinnereth, by the way, is Galilee, if you want to get a reference, toward the east, and as far as the Sea of the Arabah, even the Salt Sea, eastward toward Beth Jeshimoth, and on the south, at the foot of the slopes of Pisgah. In the territory of Og, king of Bashan, one of the remnant of Rephaim, who lived at Ashtaroth and at Edrei, and ruled over Mount Hermon and Salaka and all Bashan, as far as the border of the Geshurites and the Maacathites, and the half of Gilead, as far as the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the sons of Israel defeated them, and Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh as a possession. Now these are the kings of the land whom Joshua and the sons of Israel defeated beyond the Jordan toward the west, from Baal Gad to the valley of Lebanon, even as far as Mount Halak, which rises toward Seir, and Joshua gave it to the tribes of Israel as a possession according to their divisions. In the hill country, in the lowland, in the Arabah, on the slopes and in the wilderness, and in the Negev, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. The king of Jericho won, the king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, won, the king of Jerusalem won, the king of Hebron won, the king of Jarmuth won, the king of Lachish won, the king of Eglon won, the king of Gezer won, the king of Debir won, the king of Geder won, the king of Hormah won, the king of Ered won, the king of Libna won, the king of Adullam won, the king of Makkedah won, the king of Bethel won, the king of Tapua won, the king of Hefer won, the king of Aphek won, the king of Lasharon won, the king of Madon won, the king of Hazor won, the king of Shinram Meron won, the king of Ashvath won, the king of Tanakh won, the king of Megiddo won, the king of Kadesh won, the king of Jokneam in Carmel won, the king of Dor in the heights of Dor won, the king of Goim in Gilgal won, and the king of Tirzah won, in all 31 kings. Amen. Okay, chapter 12 is a summary statement, as you can tell, and this is finishing off of what has been done before. Since there's not a lot of material to go through this morning, let me do a little quick history lesson for us and a little overview of the book. So Joshua begins, now Moses is dead, now Joshua, so we have a new reign, in essence, a new leadership that rising up. And then from chapter 1 to chapter 5, 12, is the entrance into the promised land. And then from 5:13 to the end of chapter 12 is the conquest in the promised land. And so now we have it going out. And then the rest of the book is really going to deal with, from chapter 13, the apportionment. In other words, you know, you guys get this, you guys get that. And we're dealing with kind of internal politics in that way. And then it'll finish off with the final summons to covenant royalty. And that'll be in chapter 23. And it's just two chapters that finish off the book of Joshua in this regard. So we're moving into a whole another realm. One of the things that you have to take into consideration as we're studying Joshua, particularly, is the mirror between what the Israelites did, the mirror of them coming into conquest, coming into the promised land, and how that really is a reflection on us and the way that we really look at God, you know, in that regard. Sheldon's in the back. Okay? And so one of the things that you can see really easily is, think in this context, okay, the redemptive history of Israel that's entering into Canaan is mirrored with the Christian life in that regard. And simply this spiritual experience of, first of all, conflict, and then victory, and then blessing. And so you see how these things go hand in hand. And so the Israelites, they come into this place of conflict. They have victory as a result of obeying God and following the Lord. And then as a result of that victory, blessing begins to flow. And that's very similar to the Christian spiritual experience. Jesus makes it very clear that it says, in this world, you will have tribulation. But fear not, for I've overcome this world. And so conflict is really one of the parts of the Christian life. Don't get sidetracked or be deceived by, you know, there's movements in the church right now that are trying to, in every way possible, get rid of any conflict. Get rid of any suffering. It seems like the whole goal of Christianity is to get away from suffering. But the reality is that that's all part of this theme or really the workings of God in that regard. It's conflict, but conflict is really just a precursor to victory that's going to come. So it's conflict, victory, blessing. I think the problem with the modern church in many ways is they want blessing, but they don't want conflict. They're happy with victory, but you can't have victory without conflict. Do you see how that works? And so, but a lot of people, they just want blessing. Just bless me. Just give me the blessing, right? But blessing, it will be a result of conflict that's overcome. And so Paul talks about, in very beautifully, this idea of this fight, you know, that we're under. And that God just always overwhelmingly conquers through us. Romans chapter 8, we are more than conquerors. We are overcomers. We're not managers. We don't manage conflict. We overcome conflict. And so you kind of keep that in mind. And for good reading, read Ephesians 1 and chapter 6, 10. We'll talk about this. Hebrews 4, now the writer of Hebrews actually does a really good job. And he equates, spends quite a bit, especially chapter 4, he equates the rest. So Israelites came into the promised land, and he called that rest. The blessing of the Lord, and all those things, victory over the conflict. And he says that they came into this rest of the Lord. Now, some didn't because of unbelief, and so there was no rest. But they came into this place of rest, and he's equating this rest that the Israelites entered into is our spiritual rest because Jesus Christ finished it. And so now we're able to step into the rest, really the rest of Christ in that regard. Okay? So let's go back to this passage. We have the first part from 1 through 6. Is an overview of the conquest before the Jordan. Remember, he tells you here, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half of the tribe of Manasseh, they received the land, they received the blessing, the bounty, before crossing over. And then from 7 on is these people that they were defeated, that they now begin to cross over. And there's this amazing thing. Now, again, there's not really a lot of material. One thing I'll say is not all of these battles are written out in the first part of Joshua, because a lot of these kings were very insignificant kings. And if you want to get a kind of an idea of the history, the Pharaoh during this time, it would be Amenhotep II, I believe. He actually lost interest in Asia or in this region. And so they kind of just stood back and really didn't anything. Maybe to lick their wounds after the Israelites leave. And if you think in this kind of military context, because of what the Israelites were able to do to the Egyptians, they no longer were feared as much as they were before then. Now you have these slaves that really got the better hand of the Egyptians. And so Amenhotep II, he basically lost his interest. And part of that, probably losing interest, that's what history would say. But I would like to add on that simply the fact that they were demoralized as a people. And so their Asiatic holdings were kind of kept back, and it created a free-for-all, and now all these kings begin to rise up. And so some of them are big, some of them are not very significant, and that's why there's so many. 31 is listed here on the other side of the Jordan. That's kind of the span of history by which all this is happening there. And so one thing you'll note, and again, we talked about it yesterday a little bit, but do you remember even a generation before, 42, 43 years before this, they sent out 12 spies into the land. And this is the same people that they encountered. They sent out these spies, and what happens? They come out and say, man, these guys are giants, you know, and we're just like grasshoppers. Remember, these are the same people that they will conquer. And when we're going through Numbers, it seems like ages ago, you know, we mentioned that out of this, 10 people saw grasshoppers, right? So they saw them as giants, and they saw themselves as grasshoppers and nothing. And only 2 people were able to see God through the whole thing. And that led to 40 years of wandering the wilderness, really a whole generation having to die off. Only 2 people were able to see what God saw. And now a new generation is coming and is able to experience really what those 2, Joshua and Caleb, and we're going to be introduced to Caleb in chapter 14 again pretty soon. And they're able to see what no one else was able to see. But the delay was great, 40 years. And now the Israelites, because they obeyed the Lord, because they came into right relation with God and they had God's eyes and his vision, I mean, these guys, see the word. Now, my Bible in verse 7 and also in verse 6 translated the sons of Israel defeated. You know, the word actually is not defeated. The word is smote. In other words, they just totally destroyed these guys. You know, like, you know, when you play basketball and, you know, you win in double overtime and you win by 1 basket, you defeated your opponents. We take that. You know, when you win by like 150, you know, you have a game and you just destroy, you demoralize. They don't even want to come out in the second half because you kick their butt so much. That is smote. And so that's exactly what the Israel, they smote these guys. I mean, it's a tremendous, absolute victory in this place. And, I mean, 31 kings in a short span of time. They just destroyed their enemies. Why? Because God was with them. Have you ever heard this phrase? You plus God equals a majority, right? You plus God equals a majority. There's another well-known pastor, I forget which one was it, but said this, you know, but it says, you know, man does not fear who knows that his God is omnipotent, right? Man does not fear who knows and understands that his God is omnipotent. And so when we align ourselves with God, When we walk with the Lord and give ourselves into following him fully, there's no end to what God can do in your life. Even though on the outset it looks like you're the minority, it's you against thousands, or you know, you're trying to express your faith in your company, you know, in your workplace, and you think, oh man, it's me against the world. No, you plus God equals a majority. That's all it takes. And it really was this small band of farmers turned into soldiers that smote 31 kings on the other side of the Jordan and also a few other ones before they go in. It's quite an amazing thing, right? You plus God, just think that in your spirit. Me plus God is a majority. Romans 8. If God is for us, then who can be against us? Let's pray. It's not a lot of material. I did the best that I could. I hate these summary statements. It's like nothing to teach on. But in any case, oh, I shouldn't say that. I love summary statements. There's not any part of the Bible that I dislike. But let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Are you encountering some kind of difficulty? Is there some obstacle that's in your way? I want to suggest to you the Israelites had two battles to face. And this is really true for, I would say, probably all of us when we encounter this. The first battle is the fight. Okay, I should say the second battle is the fight. In other words, they need to defeat their enemy. They need to battle. But God's going to give them victory. I want to suggest to you the first fight is in our mind. We encounter a trial or a tribulation or some scenario, and always the first thing is, can I do this? Am I capable? The first battle happens upstairs. It's a battle of our wills. It's a battle of what we believe. Is God my God? Or is he not? Is God powerful and can I trust him? Or can I not? Am I able to do this in Christ? Or am I not? Whenever we encounter different things, it's a battle of the mind. Is God's word true or not? Can I trust God's promises or not? And I want to suggest to you, once you overcome that battle, the actual battle, the actual fight of the conflict is pretty easy, easily taken care of. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Whatever conflict or situation that you're battling, let's win the battle of the mind. As Paul would say, we're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. What is he talking about? He's talking about our thought life. He's talking about our mind. And as Ricky leads us in a song of worship, let's give our mind that battlefield to the Lord and think of his thoughts. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Time is in his hand. beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, the Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see how great.
Let's pray, huh? Let's pray that we would be overcomers. You are more than conquerors. Whatever battle that you're facing right now, that you would win the battle of the mind and then the actual battle itself. Well, let's give ourselves to the Lord this morning. Maybe you're not in a battle. Maybe you know someone that He is. Let's lift them up before the Lord. Let's intercede on their behalf. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that are battling right now. Let's pray that they would also overcome. Let's pray for God's healing word to flow. Let's pray for our community that's battling illnesses and also salvation. Let's pray that Jesus would reveal himself to them. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our community that's battling illnesses outside of cancer. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Singapore. Let's pray for our church there. Praise God for new facilities and pray that the church would not just continue to grow in their love for him and for one another. Let's continue to pray for Pastor Sam Kim and his family as they continue to get settled in and now begin to launch into new ministries. Let's also pray for Indonesia. Let's pray for SP Indonesia. Let's pray for Pastor Selamat and his family. Pray for the mission in Kupang as well. Let's pray that God would really continue to have their way with these two countries. In particular, I know Pastor Lamont is going to talk with one of the landlords, and let's just pray for real favor coming up soon. So let's pray. Pray over our missions committee. Let's ask God's hand to be upon our group. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us as we seek out his missional endeavors for our church. Let's pray for our local outreach team, for Community Center, the Agape, Homeless Ministry, SP Lives, Freedom, Bridge, and the Drug Rehab Ministry. Let's ask for Holy Spirit to lead our leaders and our volunteers and really give them supernatural strength and energy to go out and share Christ's love. Let's cover our activities tonight. Let's pray for the college group. Pray for the intercessory prayer team, as well as EG. We're having our retreat, our Saturday morning class retreat, starting tonight. If you could pray for the 11 members that will be embarking over this weekend, and we finish Sunday morning, I'd appreciate your prayers. Let's pray for McCain House Church tonight as they meet. Let's pray Holy Spirit would lead the discussion and people would be ministered to in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. God, we thank you for your holy pattern, Lord. Conflict, victory, blessing. There's never victory, God, without any conflict, Lord. And so we pray, God, that in the midst of conflict, God, that we would remain strong and steadfast and just continue to run hard after you, God. Lord, conflict is not a punishment from you, God. Lord, conflict is just a natural part of life. But Lord, you have made the way for victory through your Son, Jesus the Christ. And so we thank you that we can walk and flow in the blessings, God, because of that victory. We love you, Lord. Just watch over us today. Help us to walk and move confidently in this world, knowing that you've already won, God. You've already done it for us. We love you, God. Bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you on Sunday.